today on Annenberg Radio News.
It's going to be tough. Our men and women in uniform, it's going to be really tough for them.
As President Obama gives his long-awaited speech on Afghanistan, we'll look ahead. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, December 1st, 2009. I'm Pete Griffin. The storied Martin Luther King Jr. Hospital in Willowbrook is one step closer to reopening. The hospital closed in 2007 under a cloud of scandal. Richie Duchon has more on a vote today that will move things forward.
The L.A. County Board of Supervisors unanimously approved a plan to partner with the University of California to reopen what they're calling the new MLK Hospital. UC Regents approved the partnership in November. Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas, who based his 2008 candidacy on reopening the hospital, said it is not for the benefit of just one community.
This is effectively a reinforcement and a undergirding of the county's safety net.
The plan calls for UC to provide medical staff and develop a graduate medical training program. The 120-bed facility is expected to open in late 2012. An adjacent trauma center yet to be built will open in 2013. The medical center will be run by an independent nonprofit organization overseen by a 7-member board of directors. The county and the University of California will each select 2 members of the board and will partner to select the other 3. Asked about concerns that race will play a role in selecting the new board members, Ridley Thomas responded,
"It's an insulting question, quite frankly. There is not, on any day of the week, going to be an occasion on which I cause it to be assumed that persons of color in some way, shape, or another cannot stand up to the task of providing appropriate leadership. My point of view is we will have competency and diversity. And when I say diversity, I don't mean that simply in terms of ethnicity. I mean that in terms of skill set that will constitute the board of the new MLK Hospital, and we'll have great reason for celebration."
The vote today gives the county's chief executive officer the authority to begin negotiating details of the partnership. The CEO plans to return in 30 days with more specifics about cost and recommendations about how to set up the nonprofit. Richie Duchon, Annenberg Radio News.
Los Angeles has a gruesome history of mass murderers. One notorious killer, the Grim Sleeper, remains on the loose. Timothy Beckworth has more on the ongoing effort to bring him to justice.
Today, the city council renewed a $500,000 reward for a serial killer linked to 11 deaths in the South Los Angeles area since 1985. The reward is one of the largest ever offered by the city council. After a killing spree that lasted until 1988, the killer waited 13 years to find new victims. Because of the long break between crimes, the killer has come to be known as the Grim Sleeper. Many of his victims were prostitutes, and all but one was a woman. Some of the victims were raped and shot before their bodies were dumped in back alleys and trash bins around South Los Angeles. Police believe the killer is a black man in his 50s or late 40s and may have driven an orange Ford Pinto in the 80s. Anyone with information is urged to come forward. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
Comcast is one step closer to acquiring NBC Universal. As Albert Sabate reports, it's a deal that represents a big shift in the entertainment industry.
The roadblock has been cleared today for Comcast to acquire NBC Universal from co-owners General Electric and French media conglomerate Vivendi. If the deal goes through, Comcast would get control of 51% of NBC Universal and be expected to buy out the rest of GE over the next 8 years. Comcast will have acquired movie studio Universal Pictures, more than a dozen cable channels including Bravo, MSNBC, CNBC, Telemundo, USA, and multiple theme parks. The expansion of the media giant goes against the grain of media ownership trends. Time Warner has been spinning off different divisions recently, and 4 years ago, Viacom split from CBS. The final sale to Comcast is expected to come through in the next few days. Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
The Los Angeles Auto Show opens Friday, but Governor Schwarzenegger was in town today for an early kickoff. And as Neela Jamie reports, this year's show is a one-trick pony.
Here in California. Governor Schwarzenegger is known for his love of gas-guzzling Hummers, but today he was promoting environmentally friendly cars along with executives from Toyota, Mercedes, Honda, and other major brands. After years of not putting much effort into making cars fuel efficient, now the automakers are fighting each other.
Save money when you buy it, save money on gas, and help save Mother Nature.
That's Steve Ellis, the manager of alternative vehicles for Honda. He's one of the many head honchos who came out to deliver their green sales pitch. And this time, it's affordable, under 20 grand.
Now, more consumers than ever can buy a fun-to-drive, fuel-efficient hybrid and benefit from its 40-plus mile-per-gallon fuel economy, saving several thousand dollars compared to the cost of other hybrid sedans.
But wait, Mercedes communications director Jeff Day says, oh yeah, well, we were first. The crowd laughed as he introduced Mercedes' first full hybrid SUV along with the S400 hybrid.
You can have green luxury that also uses the world's first production car to use lithium-ion battery technology.
It may be green, but it's probably not cost-efficient, pricing up to nearly $65,000. Execs from Mitsubishi and Toyota also portrayed their companies as leaders. It's not clear whether any car companies will show cars that aren't green this year. Neela Jamie, Annenberg Radio News.
Around the corner from the auto show, local politicians were kicking off plans to make Los Angeles more hospitable to electric car owners and makers. Jessica Flores has the story.
Mayor Villaraigosa announced a city effort today to make LA more electric car friendly, calling it the Plug-in Readiness Program.
We're here today to make a very special announcement, one that will help transform the Los Angeles region from the vehicle capital of the world into the electric vehicle capital of the world.
The plan will create incentives for residents to buy electric cars, such as preferential parking and free meter parking. The mayor said the city will need more plug-in centers for electric car users to charge up to. He also wants to bring electric automakers to LA. Council members Eric Garcetti and Jam Perry joined the mayor and arrived in their own electric cars. An avid electric car driver, Garcetti was excited to highlight ways to make it easier to own the vehicles.
We should look at subsidies to continue the electricity. It's very little money, but it creates a great marketplace for our utilities.
The city will apply for grant funding to pay for many of the initiatives, and $10 million will go to gearing city departments with the electric vehicles. The mayor said the readiness program will begin by 2011. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
For today's weather, we had a mix of clouds and sunshine today, and tonight should be partly cloudy, with light winds and a low of 49. Tomorrow will bring in some clouds with light winds and a high of 68. But tomorrow night should be mostly clear skies with a low of 48. And the Thursday forecast calls for sunny skies with highs in the upper 60s and lows in the upper 40s. Later on in Annenberg Radio News, World AIDS Day came to Los Angeles. President Obama is expected to announce tonight that he will send about 30,000 additional troops to Afghanistan, ramping up a war that many Americans have trouble supporting. Ariel Edwards-Levy reports.
Troops, mostly combat forces, will begin arriving in Iraq by Christmas, earlier than expected. At the same time, President Obama is promising to end the escalation by next summer. The troop increase has several goals, including keeping Afghanistan out of the hands of Al-Qaeda and stabilizing the region with an eye on Pakistan, The president is also trying to send a message to Philip Sieb, the director of the Center on Public Diplomacy at USC.
I think the president is trying to convey the idea that he is not inclined to cut and run, that there has been an American commitment, although it was not made by his administration, to Afghanistan, and he intends to fulfill that commitment.
The move has already drawn widespread protest. Those on the left generally oppose increasing the war, while those on the right criticize the timetable. Near LA's federal building, protesters gathered to urge that money be spent on domestic issues instead of the war.
Money for jobs,
not for war!
Money for schools,
not for war!
Protester Cheryl Labash says the president has the wrong priority.
Whenever human needs are presented, there's no money for that. But let there be a call for more troops in Afghanistan. Well, that, at $1 million a person, that can be done at the drop of a hat.
The decision to add troops feels like a betrayal to Jake DiLiberto. The Marine is a co-founder of the group Veterans for Rethinking Afghanistan. He says he hoped the president would respect the military by using war as a last resort.
It's an immensely problematic toll on the troop. There's years of loneliness and years of PTSD and years of emotional problems that you suffer when you're in a combat zone. It means long-term deployments. It means more violence. It means suicide rates are going to increase. A whole lot of stress. It's going to be tough. Our men and women in uniform, it's going to be really tough for them.
DiLiberto says many Afghans are tired of the war as well.
Our history is short. The people of Afghanistan has been bombed for 100 years with rising civilian casualties and a rising poverty rate, and extremism is rising as well.
He says more troops aren't the way to victory, and that at best, the surge will cause a stalemate. For some, the parallels to another war seem obvious, but Philip Sieb says it's best not to jump to that conclusion.
There's always a temptation to compare everything to Vietnam, and I think that's an oversimplification. If you look closely, you can find some matters that are similar. But I think the strategy and the purpose of going into Vietnam were different than what is in play today.
Obama's speech announcing the decision will be broadcast tonight from West Point. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
We apologize for the technical difficulties on our last report. For another perspective on the war, I talked earlier today with Nusheen Arbabzadeh, an Afghani political analyst and journalist. She is a visiting scholar at UCLA Center for India and South Asia. We talked about the president's big speech tonight and what we should expect when it comes to the Obama administration's new strategy.
Well, I don't think there's going to be any surprises there. I expect him, as we know, it's been already reported, an increase in troops, but also some sort of exit plan.
What are your thoughts about the increase in military forces in Afghanistan?
Well, I think the general view is that this is a good idea, but that's not enough. What Afghans expect from the U.S. is to have them train their own army so that Afghanistan itself becomes an independent country and can defend itself. It's a matter of taking over the ownership of the war. I don't think Afghans expect the U.S. Army to stay there forever and fight the war for them. After all, the people have been Afghans have been fighting for 30 years, so they are very expert in these matters. But what they need is equipment and training, and that's the expectation from the U.S. Army. People expect America to do things that they excel at, which is reconstruction, for example, building infrastructure, so help them to help themselves, basically, rather than take over the war.
Are you confident that this strategy will be successful?
Depends. We need to find out more the details, and we also need to find out how much has actually changed. You know, is this just going to be an increase in the number of troops, or is there going to be additional aspects to this to the new strategy? So it's too early. Far too early to actually predict anything. But, you know, people are hopeful. We always have to be, obviously.
Are there any aspects that you would like to see specifically a part of the strategy that's going to be proposed by the Obama administration?
What I would like to see is for the United States to actually, you know, help the Afghan government and strengthen it rather than undermine it, which is, you know, has often been pointed out as a problem. It is not true that Afghans are not used to governance or that they don't want to be governed. People really would like to have a functioning state because, after all, if you have a powerful, functioning central state, it's much better than having lots of different fiefdoms with different strongmen, you know, running the country. So far, the impression is that the United States does not actually trust its own ally in the Afghan government. So I think a great deal of improvement could be expected if the government was strengthened and if the Afghan army was built and strengthened so that the people can take ownership of the war and eventually of the reconstruction project.
That was Nusheen Arbabzadeh, a visiting scholar at UCLA. Today was World AIDS Day. Here in Los Angeles, the USC County Medical Center held free health screenings for Angelenos. Leilani Albano has more.
...have suffered high rates of HIV/AIDS, and on this afternoon, World AIDS Day official Jack Martin says researchers uncovered one disturbing fact.
The most surprising thing of all is the fact that we're seeing sicker, younger patients.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, the annual rate of AIDS diagnoses reported among boys ages 15 to 19 has nearly doubled in the past 10 years. It's now up to 2.5 cases per 100,000 people. Martin works as a nurse at the LA County USC Medical Center's HIV unit. He attributes the staggering numbers to young people taking fewer precautions when engaging in sex.
The mentality now for a lot of people is the fact that it's a very manageable disease, and so why do I need to be careful?
He is among dozens of community members, medical staff, and others who attended USC Medical Center's annual World AIDS Day health fair. HIV education materials and rapid HIV tests were offered free of charge. Organizers made sure to also include general screenings, like cholesterol and diabetes screenings, in order to draw a larger crowd.
¿Y tiene personas en su familia que tiene diabetes?
Sí.
So,
Dr. Joseph Cadden is medical director of the hospital's HIV/AIDS unit.
This has gone a way to help identify patients who might not think they were at risk, and it also works to help destigmatize the disease, because if you're offering this test as just a general medical test, it makes people feel less apprehensive about the condition.
The first World AIDS Day was held in 1988 as a way to raise awareness of the AIDS epidemic. Today, the number of cases has skyrocketed. According to United Nations AIDS statistics, there are 33.4 million people living with HIV worldwide. In LA, that number is 60,000. He says that with life-saving meds already available to the general population, no one should be afraid to learn their HIV/AIDS status.
I emphasize all the time that HIV is a chronic medical condition, and like many other chronic medical conditions, it can be controlled and treated, and people go on to live happy, healthy lives.
USC health officials say the hospital has enough funds to support its HIV/AIDS unit's 2,500 patients. But that could change. There are concerns that Governor Schwarzenegger may cut $70 million in state general funds. AIDS advocates warn any further cuts could result in faster and earlier deaths for AIDS patients. Leilani Albano, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Carlos Salcedo to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. How's it going, Carlos?
Good, thanks, Pete. Tonight on Annenberg TV News, we are doing extensive coverage on President Obama's highly anticipated speech on the buildup of more U.S. troops to Afghanistan. Hear what the president said in his speech at West Point. Plus, a man suspected of killing four police officers in Washington State is believed to be dead. And Tiger Woods' bizarre car accident continues to draw attention to the pro golfer's near-perfect image. See what Florida police are saying about their investigation in the incident. All that and much more tonight on Annenberg TV News at 6 o'clock and all the time on ATVN.org.
Pete. Thanks, Carlos. That wraps it up for this Tuesday and for this semester. Many thanks to our Tuesday crew, Neela Jamie, Ashley Ragavan, Leilani Albano, Dominic Riley, Ariel Edwards-Levy, Jessica Flores, Albert Sabate, Miche Brown, and Ryan Nunez. Matthew Richmond was our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. And for all of us at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Pete Griffin. Happy holidays, and be sure to join us again next semester.